Hey there, folks. I'm Todd Anthony Zeller.
And I'm Spun Counter Guy.
For all you wanderers, vagabonds, sinners, and saints,
welcome home.
Spun Counter Guy here. It's been a year and a half since Michael Gerard Knott passed away at the age of 61. My co-host, Todd Zeller, and I wanted to produce a tribute series to Michael covering his life, artistry, and faith. And we're going to call this series A Kiss of Life. If all goes as planned, this episode will be the first of many. On this initial installment, our first guest is a man by the name of Robert Freeman. By day, Robert keeps the state of Oregon running smoothly as an IT guru, but beyond his 9-to-5, Robert has carved out a unique passion project, breathing life into the music that shaped him. Most recently, he launched an independent vinyl re-release of Screaming Brittle Siren, the seminal solo record by Michael Knott. In this conversation, Robert sits down one-on-one with Todd, where he opens up about his love for Michael Knott's music, the man, the madness, and brilliance behind it, and why Screaming Brittle Siren, in particular, still resonates so deeply.
Check one, two. 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 Ready? All right, this is just are you recording now? Okay, it's ad-libbing.
So tell me about the painting that you expressed your interest in.
It was this one. It was the one I was primarily, because I love that song, Shine a Light. Darkness over my soul. I've got nothing but grief under my brain.
I tried to come back, I tried to move around this siren. Keeps calling my name. Someone shall lie.
You and I met Robert because of Mike Knott, as he often brings more and more people together through his music, through his legacy. Tell me about the painting that happens to be right next to us.
This is the painting Shine a Light, and it's a series of paintings that he did for Screaming Brittle Siren. When we first talked, it was only supposed to be one painting, maybe two, and he ended up painting six paintings. When we were doing the paintings, he asked me to sketch out ideas for each of the paintings, and so to feed him ideas, and so I started sketching out the idea for Shine a Light, because that was one of my favorite songs, and I said, I picture, you know, you on a boat sailing, and just like the lyrics say about you want somebody to shine a light, and you're going, and the sirens are calling your names, trying to distract you from the light. And so I started describing how I saw that scenario in a painting, with the sirens calling you, and you're in a ship, and then the lights in the distance, lighthouses in the distance, and I don't know how you managed to capture it, but you captured it even better than I thought it would look, because I had the painting in my mind, and it was exactly how I thought it would be. Not only that, it was better than I imagined it. So that's why I get kind of emotionally choked up about it, because he knew that painting meant a lot to me, because that was the one I described the most, and I told him how much I loved the song, and out of the blue, he wanted me to have it to be next to the painting that he painted of my dad, and so it really touched me.
You talk about Michael, and I know you spent some time with him, especially on the phone, leading up to the re-release of a record. And tell us about what record a little more in depth, and what that's about, and how you came to know Michael.
Ironically, I got to know him through his painting. I wanted him to paint something for me. He would always on Facebook say, you know, they would advertise this painting. If you're interested in contact Michael at this email address. So I would constantly contact him, and I would never hear anything. And it's all right after all. She makes me feel like Andy Warhol. but I kept at it. And then one day out of the blue, he emails me back and says, "Oh, I think it's your time. You've been emailing me a long time. I think it's time for you to, you know, get a painting." And so I said, "That's great." And then I said, "Can you do me one favor?" I said, and I wrote this back to him. I said, "You know, out of all my musical heroes," and I said, "I'm being honest here. If I had a choice between me and Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys, which I love, and Paul McCartney or John Lennon of the Beatles, you're the guy I'd like to talk to for at least 5-10 minutes. Would you be willing to talk to me before, you know, they sent me the painting off?" And he said, "Sure." And so he ended up calling me, and whatever reason, we just hit it off, and we had a lot in common, and it felt really, you know, when you meet somebody, it's just like it kind of clicks. And so we just kind of clicked, and then one call led to another call, another call. Next thing you know, he's telling me, he's like, "It feels weird if I don't call you every week now." And I said, "I feel the same way." And so we got to know each other over a year or a year and a half or so, probably around there. I got to tell a lot of stories of growing up in Southern California, and he did too, and how this Screaming Little Siren came about. Just out of the blue, he called me and said, because he knew that was one of my favorite albums. I told him that I loved it. And oh, another thing I'll tell you that's funny, the first time I talked to him too, he got a real kick out of this. It was really funny. I said, "Hey, do you mind if I put on a Michael Knott record?" I said, we can talk Michael Knott while Michael Knott's playing. And he started cracking up. I said, "You pick the record." And he picked Great Prophet on the acoustic side that he'd just done. So we were listening to that, and it was a good time. Picking baskets of oranges. Where are all the hired hands? They're gonna follow some problem miles. As far as I can understand. Anyways, fast forward, he knew that I loved that album. And so he called me out of the blue and said, how would you like to re-release Screaming Little Siren on vinyl?" And I said, "I would love to." And I said, are you sure?" And he's like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Start coming up with some ideas how you'd like to do it, and let me know." And so before we even got to the point of the paintings and all that, we had a lot of conversations about ideas, and I told him how I got all the little hidden things that he put in the album related to the ocean and the sea, and being a surfer like he was, and I was a surfer, and we grew up around the beach. Stuff like Barnacle and, you know, Hang Me High, and, you know, it was basically like a pirate's tale, you know. And so I started giving him ideas related around that, and he loved it. He said, and I wish I could show you the text, but he said, "Just keep feeding those ideas. These ideas are great." He would take an idea and run with it. And then at first, like I said, I thought it was just going to be the one painting. All of a sudden, one painting turned into two paintings, and then two paintings turned into three paintings, and four paintings turned into four paintings, and five and six. It was like he was almost painting one for each of the songs on the album. I don't know what it was, but he was just really inspired, and he really wanted to paint a lot on this record. I don't know why. But Stormy and I think we talked about it, and I think it was like a gift to his fans in a way that he had painted so many paintings. That's why I'm really excited, because a lot of those paintings are going to be in the vinyl release that we do. All of them will be representative. Most of the songs that is on Screaming Little Siren, and he captured all of them. The thing is that the last one that he couldn't finish, it's still going to mean a lot to the fans. It's not even fully painted. It's just sketched out. that you can see his thought process and how he was coming up with these great ideas. He would take my idea, take it, and make it even better. You know, that's kind of the guy he was.
Wouldn't you agree that he both musically was collaborative in spirit? I mean, that was a little bit of my experience. I mean, he was open to ideas. I'm clearly way more talented than most people have, you know what I mean? Kind of a once-in-a-lifetime passion and gift for so many different areas of life. But his skill set between painting and his lyric writing, his songwriting, I love hearing that you actually collaborated with him on a painting. He listened to your ideas. Did you feel heard by Michael? I felt that on the phone anyways.
Definitely. Hey, Todd, it's Michael Nall. I just wanted to touch base. See how everything went. I don't know if I was that good on the interview, but whatever. But your daughter was like a freaking angel flying around the whole place, man. It was like cool. Anyway, so give me a call if you get a chance. 714, it's only 849. I don't know if you're even back home yet. Maybe you're still going for it. All right, anyway, so man, totally pro. You were so pro. You are so pro. It was like better than ever. And I love that light thing. It's like, good God, look at that thing. It's like, I almost felt like a, I don't know, like a bug that wanted to fly into it. And, all right, love you guys. Bye.
Definitely felt like he was taking my ideas. Like I said, if I could show you the Shine a Light painting, it was exactly how I envisioned it, but better. So he obviously was listening to the ideas I had. Some of the ideas I didn't even have to tell him because it's were self-explanatory, like brittle body. We both talked about we were both, you know, going through stuff, you know, with my back, and he was going through some physical stuff with his eye and his heart too. And so we were both joking about how brittle body is more a real twist now than it was when he wrote the song, ironically. I valued his opinion so much that kind of a side story is my dad was always a musician, and we talked about how lucky we were to play with our dads.
And its fury broke today, crushing hopes that we cherish so dear. Clouds and storm will in time pass away, and the sun again will shine bright and clear. Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way if we keep on the sunny side of life.
Let us greet with the song of hope each day. Though the moment be cloudy or fair, let us trust in our Savior always, who keepeth everyone in his care.
Because a lot of people don't know the joy of what that is to sit down and play in a band with your own dad. It's like an experience that I wish everybody could feel. And I was lucky enough to play with my mom and my dad and my uncle. So this is a very musical family. And when my dad passed away, he recorded a bunch of music that I found in his place. I never didn't even know he did it, and he did it very professional for being at home. But how this ties into Michael is I wanted Michael to hear some of it, so I wanted his opinion, because I said, my dad always wanted to make it into music, Michael. He always wanted to do what you do. But life took on a different turn, and he ended up joining the Navy. And he wasn't sad that he was in the Navy. He retired out of the Navy. He was very proud to be in the Navy. You know, same thing, being around the ocean. Always felt like that was a part of his life that he wished he would have explored more. And I'm curious to hear what you think of his music. be honest. And I actually had my son there on this conversation, and we played some of my dad's music.
I got stripes, stripes around my shoulders. I got chains, chains around my feet. I got stripes, stripes around my shoulders. And them chains, they're about to drag me down.
I get done and we can hear it because I said, be honest. And you know, Michael's very honest. And he's like, your dad is ridiculously good. And it's funny because I'm waiting to hear if he's going to say it, because this is what most people think of when they hear my dad's music and his voice. He's like, it sounds like a cross between Cash and Elvis. I said, I know, exactly right. I said, that's how everybody pictures it. I said, it was really cool. But back to collaboration, we had talked about it never came to fruition. He loved the idea of taking my dad's music and him overlaying his guitar work over it with him singing along with my dad to give my dad. And he even said we could sell it on Bandcamp. And I said, I started to cry a little bit because I said, you're going to help my dad, you know, fulfill his dream that he always had in a small way that he never got to see. And he's like, I really want to do it. And so we had talked about doing that.
Wow.
Never got to do it. Also talked about him coming up and staying with me because he was talking about hanging out with his sister, because I guess he's got a sister around this area and going to come over and play and hang out. And like you said, it was that very collaborative. He didn't really care that I wasn't some big rock star or whatever. He just wanted to play with people and be with people and share music with people. That was really what it was about. I mean, that's one reason I was so drawn to his music, as you can sense that he's very honest and open when he speaks. He just shares his heart, and you kind of take it or leave it. And if you don't like what you're hearing, then just don't listen. But he's very honest and open, and so that's one thing that drew me to his music.
Beautiful. Really appreciate your honesty and openness on your experiences and inspiration with Mike. Though he's already left this earth, he still inspires me. And daily, I have paintings on my wall that I glance up at. You know, right above where my editing suite is at. I always feel sort of this. I think we're all kind of kindred spirits, you know, but I appreciate what you said about him. He didn't care that you weren't some big rock star. He just wanted to be with people, collaborate, share music, build things together. I really believe that.
I do too.
So let's veer off a little bit to, you were at the tribute show. So after Mike passed, Tim Tabor of the Prayer Chain and CRISPR Gandhi and a few others put together a great, great roster of artists from the community of Southern California and the alternative scene. I was not able to attend the mass or the tribute show, but you did. Were there any standout moments, songs that you just loved hearing?
The mass part was really good too. Benji, who I told you about, we got a little bit turned around, so we got there just a little bit late. It was really beautiful to see all his friends and family there to celebrate his life and his legacy. Because, you know, even though he's gone, he's left a legacy, not only for the fans, but for his daughter and his grandkids.
Everything for story, all that you want is me. Everything for story, she just doesn't see. Everything for story, but all that you want is me.
They're gonna see that legacy. They won't know the extent of what that legacy is until, you know, years down the road, but his daughter wants to keep that legacy alive of her dad, and that's just an amazing thing to see, you know, her caring so much, and you could tell that they had a real loving, caring relationship. His daughter was just like her dad, being sweetest, unpretentious, down to earth, easygoing, easy to talk to, just like her dad.
Yeah.
And so we talked quite a little bit about keeping his legacy alive. I think the fans will be pretty happy with how she's contributed to the re-release and some of the upcoming stuff that she's wanting to do in support of her dad, which leads me to the tribute show when she was there as well. Music was so great. I mean, it was like you could feel Mike's presence there almost. It was kind of weird, but amazing at the same time. I don't know how to explain it. And his daughter was texting me during the show saying how touched she was standout moments. Bye Bye Color was one of the songs that everybody was just like raising their hands when he's screaming Bye Bye Color. Micro with Make Me Feel Good. I mean, that one was really touching. When you're sitting there, you're feeling almost the pain of anybody that's felt that. Mike just had a way of capturing that.
When you tell no one wants you around, shake your fist, it's tough to get a kiss. And when you scream, it's easier to be seen. It's harder to be missed. When you tell, yeah, yeah, make me feel good like I'm some.
Even at the beginning with Chris Brigandi and Mike Stan, they were just going at it with his songs, and it was just amazing to hear. They really, like he said, Chris Brigandi said, that was rock and roll at the end or something like that. You couldn't capture all Mike's music in an hour and a half or 2 hours. He just not enough time. Mm-hmm. But they took highlights of some of his most memorable moments throughout his career, and all of them nailed it. I mean, they're consummate professionals. It was really amazing. Ricky Michelle, everybody's singing Rockin' in a Bomb, and she was singing Rockin' in a Bomb. She did an amazing job with the Aunt Betty stuff.
And the Brian Doige on bass.
Brian, we didn't think we were gonna find you. I have to say, I'm blown away right now that me, you, and Chuck are on this same stage right now, so thank you.
Have you seen the world? I don't want to be found.
All I ever wanted was to get a job, some bus fare, a rocket and a bomb. Yeah, yeah.
I think they're all standout moments for me when I was there. I mean, I can't think of anything, any song or anything that wasn't touching when you were there. I mean, everybody, I would agree, felt like Mike was there. Like he could, like Stormy said, and when she was saying that her dad would have loved it, and he would have. It's almost like I picture him sitting in the audience, you know, Mike just sitting there watching and tears streaming down his face.
Yeah, yeah, beautiful. Three words that describe Michael Gerard Knott.
Oh, that's pretty easy. Honest, passionate, and a genius.
I'm gonna get my truck, gonna get my car, I'm gonna scream right now, don't give up. About what you think, gonna turn it up. Turn it up real loud. I've been through too much. To get over all that now, gonna get real mad. I'm gonna feel real down. It's okay. I got my LS underground.
Let the listeners know how you and Cliffy Huntington are connected and why that's important, why he's important to this work.
So Josh Lori, everybody knows him. He's done a great Stellar release with the previous vinyl releases, and he was very helpful in helping me along the way. And Matt Crossland's doing the design work of the album. It's going to be really good. And he kind of steered me over to Cliffy. And so Cliffy and I messaged him, and he's like, yeah, I would love to. I love the Huntingtons. It didn't even dawn on me until about an hour into the conversation. I'm like, are you somehow related to the Huntingtons? He was like, yeah, I'm Cliffy from the Huntingtons. And I was like, well, you know what? It's really weird. Like, I just didn't even put two and two together. And I said, Josh speaks highly of you, and you know, would you be willing to remix this album, remaster it, and for the vinyl, and for the, and we're gonna do it in a CD too. And he said, I'd love to. He's like, I've always loved Mike's music. I've heard that you do it justice. And then I found out, talking to Mike, Mike was all excited that he was doing it because he knows Cliffy, and he said that Cliffy did this outstanding job too. So he's all happy that he was doing the remix and the re-release. And so we got to talking. I talked about doing some live tracks, having to remaster that. And so I sent it off to him. I wasn't quite expecting to be blown away as much as I was. And I played it on my really nice sound system I had downstairs, and I had it cranked. And I was like, I don't know how you did it, but you managed to bring out, you kept the spirit of the album there. You didn't like, because some remixes get really distracting to the point where they don't really sound like the original. He kept the tone of the original, but brought it up a little bit, brought it up a notch to make it sound really good. You know, you could hear Cummings' drums very well. You can hear the guitars. I mean, everything in Mike's voice is really good. And what do you do with live tracks? I think everybody's going to be really happy with those. I mean, he blew me away with those.
The community of alternative music lost one of its own. Are there any Michael Knotts today to fill that empty void in our music? He was clearly one of a kind.
Yeah, he was, definitely. I think Jason Martin of Starflyer, for me, I don't know if it's because we're in similar ages, we have similar kids about the same age. A lot of the writing he's been putting out lately has kind of hit home with me, like young in my head, and remind me, talking about playing with his son, you know, stuff that you do with your kids that life just kind of changes, retired. I mean, I could go on and on about it with the songs too, but the last album that came out, Life in Bed, that song and that video like struck a chord with me, because I know that everybody kind of interprets songs however they see it when they kind of look through their own lens. But my dad had literally just passed away, but he had spent like 4 months in a hospital bed, in a bed. And so that song, I could see him just wanting to get out of that bed and just get out and escape that room. And so when I would hear that song, it, you know, it'd get to me and make me cry. And I actually sent it to my mom, the video of that song, to my mom and my sister, and they both said the same thing. And just like, made them cry.
Guess what? It didn't take well. So be a rock. Maybe you're just passing through. Seems kind of early.
Jason just has a way of capturing whatever somebody may be going through, and do it in such a way that some people are just really good at writing and hitting a note with somebody and a feeling without necessarily telling them this is the way the song is, or you should feel this way, if that makes sense.
It makes total sense. Now, to your point, I see Jason and Michael both lyrically, they're able to take simple ideas about love and devotion mm-hmm. to your family, to your
exactly.
work, your job, whatever that is, and they make a great rock song out of it. I mean, so definitely. And I also love that he was there and present to, yes. you know, to
contribute. He rocked it, too.
It was beautiful what I saw on video.
Yeah.
So it's no insider's secret that Michael went through some highs and lows in his life, in his career, personally and professionally. Are there any albums that have helped you through hard times in your life, maybe encouraged you, or songs?
Oh, man. There's a lot of albums, but I'll highlight on a few songs that probably mean a lot to me. Ironically, one of the ones that was towards the end of the tribute show, Rockin' in a Bomb.
Stormy, this is for you!
Keep pushing, but keep pushing, but keep pushing, but keep pushing you away. Was to get a job, some bus fare, a rocket and a bomb. Uh-huh.
You can feel towards the end, you can feel the real pain and the angst. And I know anybody who's gone through life, they start off on a path and everything's great, and you expect life to be a certain way. And you don't want a lot out of life, just like the song, you know. All I wanted was a good job, some bus fare, you know. You don't want a lot out of life. You just want to be happy, and you want to go through life without as many down moments or trials or hard times that you're talking about. You just hope that it's smooth sailing as possible. But then you set off on that path, and you think life's going to be that way, and then all of a sudden life takes you on different turns, different courses. And then you think back, you know, man, all I want out of life was, you know, bus fare. I don't want a lot out of life, I just want some peace. And yet life takes you down these hard treks, these hard courses, and you gotta persevere and get through them. And so, you know, like Grace and Christ Saves and Shine a Light, you know, those songs that hit home, that I feel like I can relate to, because you can tell he's gone through his ups and downs, going through those things and being a believer, and going through that, you have that, you know, Mike and I were talking about this, about how you have that faith, hope, and love, and that, you know, one day we all pass, we all have our time, that, you know, we've done the best that we can do here on earth, and then we're going to go meet our maker.
When a sick man needs a physician, sometimes the healthy come in cutting instead of stitching. When he's locked by indecision, the selfish make him more dying than he is living. One thing I found through my wrong ways, one thing I've learned in my days, Christ saves. From position, the crusade starts.
I think that was really important to him a lot. I mean, when we talked about it, you know, that was, he even said all the songs he wrote, you know, came, he felt like people didn't necessarily see it, but he felt like there was the Holy Spirit talking to him to write certain things down. And I can see that too, because a lot of people struggle with the same things, you know, yet he was able to shine that light they were talking about. And that's all he ever wanted. When he talked about all I ever wanted to do was, you know, do good for and reach people. And I felt like that, you know, I felt like the fans feel that way too. Like, he saw their struggles, and not everybody views Mike the same way I do or you do, but at the same time, they know that, you know, he was a human being with struggles like we do, and he was just trying to do the best he can do. And, you know, we all fail, you know, and no judgment on him at all, because anybody, I mean, I've failed many times in my life, more times than I can count, And, you know, I try to get up and do the best I can do, you know, tomorrow, the next day, you know. And so his music helps a lot in that, I think. It reaches a lot of people, encourages a lot of people, builds up.
The opening song is Orphans of God by Mark Hurd, thanks to Dan Russell and Fingerprint Records.